glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us all exalt his name together. I sought after the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who took to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord.
Please bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can come into your house today without the fear of arrest or prosecution or imprisonment, being in a country that is still free with religion as compared to other countries, Lord. And with that, we just raise you up with Megan, who will bring us Psalms 34 message, Lord. We ask that you just give her the message, and that we receive it through our ears and our heart and carry it forward out into the community in our daily toils and work in the coming week. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We need to see if technology wants to be my friend. Okay, so will you take a minute and imagine a time you received news where you felt like the ground beneath your feet disappeared. An experience when the world you once knew would never be the same. Perhaps it's the disappointment of not making that sports team and all of your friends, it feels like, are leaving you behind. Maybe it's when your parents sat you down to tell you that they were getting divorced. Or you're rejected from the job you applied to or the school you wanted to get into. Maybe even it's that the person that you love doesn't love you back. Maybe you're evicted from your home or you lose your job. Or it's the call that the doctor says the diagnosis is cancer. And heavier yet, it may be even the message that you found out a loved one passed away. We have all experienced trauma to some level in our lives. And what we once understood to be true has been changed forever. And one of these life-altering moments in my own life, and for several of you, was the day that I heard that Thomas Haribedian was no longer with us. It's even hard for me to get out of my mouth, right? It was a roller coaster. It's been a roller coaster of recovering with grief, and it's profoundly changed my perspective in this world. I think about Thomas often, the joy that he brought to us. My heart breaks for his family, for his friends, for the mark that it left on us as a community. And yet, even though this trauma has brought up so many things for me, One of the things that was a healing balm to my heart and to my soul was singing songs of praise to God. And doing that regularly as a reminder that to respond to sorrow we experience with praise does something within us. A particular song that I held on to in this time, and it still is like a 50-50 chance if I'm going to cry when I hear it, is Great Are You, Lord. It says, you give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. These words pierced my heart. They expressed my pain, and they expressed the hope that comes along with it, right? They were the encouragement that I needed in the time, and often it brought tears. But tears aren't a bad thing, friends. Tears are part of the healing process. And I know this may seem like a somber way to start a sermon, right? I'm the junior high youth pastor. I promise I'm fun. But Psalm 34, it was written by David in response to God's provision in a really intense season of his life. And so for the last several weeks, we've been studying this idea and hopefully practicing Sabbath, this soul rest in God. And as Jeremy has said, it's really a ceasing from what is necessary to do what brings you joy, right? What brings you life. And keeping Sabbath may seem possible for those who are in like an okay season, you know, where you're like kind of going along. But I think, how do we commit to resting in God when our lives are chaotic or when we're in crisis? And believe it or not, God gave these commandments, the commandment for Sabbath and all of the commandments, while the Israelites were wandering in the desert. Their lives were vulnerable, and they did not have the security of homes and crops and trade. They were moving often and overcome by fear, I'm sure, because they didn't know what was coming. They were overwhelmed by the unknown. And in this context is when God gives them the commandments. Because God, once again, just like he did in the Genesis story of speaking order into the chaos, he's speaking order into the chaos of the Israelites' lives. Calling people to respond to God's care by trusting him more and more with their lives. Sabbath keeping is all about finding rest in the Lord during the seasons that are chaotic and uncertain. And finding rest for the depths of our souls during those times is where, when we're wandering and lost and overwhelmed by the uncertainty. Psalm 34 is a response of praise to God. Even in the midst of David's unrest and not knowing what to do. I mean, David is giving thanksgiving to God for his protection and care in crisis. And God rescued David out of his danger. And through the psalm, David is living out this act of trust and acknowledging how God has met him in his circumstances. This particular psalm is connected to a story in 1 Samuel 21, 10 through 15, where David is delivered from danger by pretending to be insane, and there's a miraculous narrow escape. So if you want to read a really interesting story, that's a good one. And understanding the context of David being delivered from danger and why it's so important to him to remember God's faithfulness in the midst of the trials he faces. I believe it has something to do with the shifting of perspectives and our approaches to coping with sorrow and loss. So let's talk about the title for a minute, Rest for the Refugee. Sometimes you get to choose the title, sometimes you don't when you preach, just a little insider knowledge. And this one I had to wrestle with God about all week because I hesitate to relate our lives to the reality of those who are refugees. Because in the context of Fresno especially, we have many refugees living in our city. They have been oppressed, their lives have been threatened, and they have lost everything. During my time as a Pink House intern, I actually had the privilege of working alongside FIRM, Fresno Interdenominational Refugee Ministry. And while I was there, I realized that it serves over 6,500 refugees yearly. And hearing these stories of these refugees rocked my world, right? Holding their pain and being there in their experience. I grew up in poverty myself, and with a single mom and just lots of circumstances, I identified with the poor. And then I met them. And when our lives intersected, I realized just how privileged I was. The fact that I didn't have to learn a new language to survive. The fact that I didn't have to take this government civic understanding of our laws test to become a citizen. I bet most of us, even though we're educated in this room, would struggle to pass that test as I helped people study for it. It's very hard. And so there are many of our brothers and sisters created in the image of God who are beloved, trying to feed and house their families in an unknown place. These beautiful people navigate life very differently from my day to day. And so I think in approaching this, talking about God being our refuge, there are some things we can learn from our refugee friends. Like how they seek God in their humble state. They know their need for Him. How they're grateful for everything they have and for what really matters. And the way that they trust in the Lord to provide for them. And their ability to praise God for His goodness in the midst of the hard. Many of their stories reflected on God's provision, and their perspective was shaped by the trust that God is their refuge in times of trouble. Therefore, I proceed carefully as we dive into these verses. In verses 1 through 3, David invites listeners to join in giving praise to God. He's giving testimony to God's glory and blessing. So I'm inviting you right now to take a moment to read through the passage, okay? David does a lot of descriptors. Junior high, high school, whoever can find the most gets a Jolly Rancher. Okay, so where's your Bible? Come on, open your Bible. I want to hear, what are some things that David says about God in this passage? Just shout it out. Anybody. It doesn't have to be them. Some of you guys already have your Bibles out. The answers. He answers. Yeah. Deliverer. That's great. Come on. One junior higher. I believe in you. He's good. Yes, he is good. He's abundant. So much so that I'm just going to give you all one, okay? Yep, right? God is abundant. There's enough to go around for everybody. This is the type of testimony of praise that David gives about the Lord, right? When I sat down with this passage, in Psalms, I often paraphrase or write my own lyrics or whatever to process. And so this is a little bit of what was on my heart as I read his testimony. So let's give thanks to God for being the one who is good, who is almighty and magnificent, the one who delivers, who is radiant and saves, the one who is our refuge, who protects and comforts, the one who is peace, who listens and comes close, the one who redeems, who is righteous and speaks life. David pours out blessing to God because he deserves it, and he invites us in to also praise him. While giving glory to the Creator, relationships are enriched. Our relationship with God is enriched. Our relationship with one another is enriched. And a sense of unity and community comes about. This also makes me think of, why do we come here on Sunday mornings? Why do we praise Jesus together corporately? And one of those reasons is for the reality of when things like our dear sister Charlene goes to be with the Lord. As someone who's a close family friend to the Skibbies, that hit me hard yesterday. And so even presently being in grief, right? Grieving is really hard. And sometimes we want to curl up in a ball and not go through it. Like, can I be anywhere else? But God is calling us into community so that here we know the hope and the goodness of God. So that Steve can tell me about all these amazing things that God did in Charlene's life in the past 10 years and be grateful for the things that she has contributed, right? For Becca to share that Charlene prayed with her the last time that she was with her, right? Like, it's beautiful to remember how God is at work and to know that God is good even in the midst of our heart. We can hear in verses 4-7 that David sought the Lord and God responded to him. What an amazing reminder that when we speak our prayers to God, he hears us, right? And he delivers us. People are transformed when they experience God. And God is active and at work in our lives. We are his beloved. He wants to work on our behalf. And when we commune with God, our faces shine and the shame is stripped away. We can't win over God's favor, right? Nothing we can do in our own actions win over God's favor. But instead, we can receive the gift of freedom and dignity from God. Verse 6 states that the Lord hears the poor man. He does not distinguish him or marginalize him. The person whose voice is often squashed out from being heard because of power and influence matters to God. The poor man's voice matters to God. And God restores his dignity and provides rest for the weary. Not only does God hear the man, but God delivers him. Praise the Lord indeed for the ways that he is at work. Verses 8-14 are often referred to as a wisdom section, which means that we can ask a question kind of like, what is David inviting wise people to do in response to God's great act of kindness? And he invites them to taste and see. To taste and see is to acknowledge the personal experience of God's goodness in our lives. The Lord is a good, good Father. And David is inviting us to taste and see for ourselves that he's a good, good Father. And for the one who seeks refuge in the Lord is blessed. Refuge. Refuge is a place of safety, of relief and stability. And in the time of Moses, the people are wandering in the desert where they're vulnerable, exposed, insecure, and fearful. They sought the physical relief of a place to call home, a place with basic necessities like food and shelter and water, a place of security and of peace. The theme of refuge is deeply connected to a place where one would receive an inheritance free from the fear of being violated or taken advantage of. And that's what Sabbath rest is. It is freedom from the harassments of one's enemy. As a refugee flees oppression and persecution for fear of their lives and takes refuge in God, really they're seeking freedom. And the theme of fearing God is prevalent in these passages as well, because those who fear God lack nothing. They will keep from what is evil and seek peace. And God promises deliverance to them. They are seeking rest for both their body and their soul from the enslavement of running away and fleeing danger. This wisdom section is tied into a reverence for God that inspires people to seek refuge in him. The remaining verses 15-22 reveal God's intention to care for those who trust in him. The Lord is close in proximity to those who are brokenhearted. People who are humbled by their own pride and rest in the promise of deliverance from all of their troubles. The Lord is the one doing the hard work, right? He's the one relieving people of the troubles. And the truth is that no one who takes refuge in God will be condemned. And how often do we believe lies that counter that good news? David is reminding the people of who they serve and the transcendence of God and his power to redeem all who seek refuge. David is speaking truth over them over and over and over again. And so how can God transform our perspective, give us rest for our souls, and be our refuge in the midst of pain? God transforms our perspective by being present with us in the hurt and the pain and the confusion. He provides rest for the restless by giving of himself. God is our refuge in the depth because his proximity is near to us. God really is our refuge. And this is how we experience Sabbath rest, is by finding refuge in him. And this rest is not just bound to one day. So we've been talking about practicing Sabbath rest as in a day, right? But this type of rest is not just for one day or a season of life. Instead, it's the presence of God pursuing relationship with us in the complexity of life. We can find a rhythm of seeking refuge in God by continually calling out to him and acknowledging our great need for saving. While in a counseling session with my therapist in the past year, she asked me if I would be willing to be a part of this activity. And let me tell you, when a counselor asks you to participate and you're already there, you don't really have a choice to say no. Like, I mean, you could, but like, you're there to do the hard work. So if you say no, like, you're going to miss out, right? And so I remember saying yes to her, not really knowing where this was going to go. And she knows I'm an external processor, big surprise. And she is says, may I, as you process your internal world to me, can I hand you cards with images that have what you're feeling on them? And I say, okay, let's do this. So she hands me a card, and it says, unsure. And then it says, disappointed. And it says, powerless, confused, angry, trapped, frustrated, discouraged, sad, stressed. And as I sit there in her office, feeling overwhelmed, but also better because I got it all out, right? I'm looking at this big pile, and my hands aren't even big enough to hold them all. And I come to a realization that I was never called to hold them all, that I have the great depth and capacity to feel all these things at the same time. And yet God has also given me a gift to feel a great capacity of joy in the midst of all of these things. And so I feel God's presence beside me, his proximity close to me. And instead of being like a rude dinner guest and just swiping him away from me, he sits by me and he waits patiently until I'm ready. Until one by one, I'm able to lay them at his feet. And some are harder than others. Some cause real pain, like scales being peeled. But the more and more I lay them at his feet, the lighter I become. And as God comes close to me, the courage to hand over these things swells up inside of me because of his spirit at work. And I lay them there. I lay them there today. Probably will have to lay them there tomorrow. Probably 5 times this week. Right? Because that's part of the healing process. Grief and sorrow, it's more of a spiral than it is a checklist. I wish it was a lot more simple, and I could be like, I'm over this, and I'm going to the next thing, especially as an achiever. But the truth is, that's not how it works. And we have to have grace for ourselves, that it's a constant trusting and surrendering. But the really sweet truth about the situation is that God is a God of proximity. To the very depths of our hearts and our souls, God comes close to the poor and saves her out of all of her troubles. God comes close to the lost and wandering and calls them back into community and purpose. God comes close to those who seek peace and provide the very place of refuge they're looking for. And God comes close to the brokenhearted and takes on their hurt. Our God is one who is with us in the depths and delivers us from them. God does not promise the absence of these things, like pain, confusion, frustration, depression, anxiety, but he does promise to deliver you from them. And the very outcomes of trusting, seeking, and surrendering in response to God's great mercy is the provision of salvation. Salvation is the very spot where refuge takes place in a chaotic and broken world. And Jesus suffered great inequities, and he was the purest form of righteousness. And as a righteous sufferer, God vindicated him. And in Jesus' resurrection, there remains the rest for the refugee. And so what can we tangibly do in the midst of our loss or suffering to seek refuge in the Lord? Well, we can do as David did and give praise to God. Maybe find a song that resonates and helps you deal with your experience, such as Great Are You, Lord, did for me. You could write in a journal what you're thankful for. You could read through scripture, pray through scripture as a way to recentering you. But if you don't have the strength even to do those things, I invite you to show up here. Allow other people to tell you stories of how God is faithful, to encourage you, to remind you of God's goodness. I'm so grateful that our pain varies in intensity, right? And when you're down, I may be at a high, and when I'm down, you're at a high. And we're able to come alongside each other and help carry each other's burdens. Sometimes the tangible presence of God is someone else coming alongside us and telling us, sharing our burden and shifting our perspective towards the hope that we find in Jesus. I think we also learn from David to speak truth over ourselves. You know, when we're in the midst of suffering, there often is a cloud of deception. So how do we speak truth and remind ourselves of what it is to follow after and trust God and be faithful to him? Because the Lord is on your side. He wants to encourage you, and he wants to give what we need and desire most. I think also creating rhythms of Sabbath in our day-to-day routines. This may be going outside for 15 minutes and being in God's creation. This may be doing yard work if it brings you life. It could be working out and pushing your body to its limits so you're reminded of your need for God. It could be having silence in the car on your commute, or listening to the Bible app read you scripture on your walk to school. It could even be having coffee with a wise friend or a mentor to work through some of the hard stuff. Like, we need to do it in community. The more and more aware we are of God's proximity in our everyday lives, the easier it is to practice trusting him with every part of our life and receive his everlasting rest. Jesus provides an eternal salvation that we begin to experience here and now. As one of my professors says, when the clouds tore open and the Spirit came upon Jesus, the kingdom of God was let loose on this earth. The kingdom reality is experienced, friends, anytime our perspective is shaped by hope in the midst of suffering. Anytime there's peace in the midst of turbulence. When we find refuge in the midst of the wandering. Jesus is walking alongside us and advocating on our behalf so we may experience the rest of deliverance because God provides rest for the refugee. Please join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for the ways that you are at work in our lives, in and through us and around us, in the midst of the hard. You are faithful. You are worthy of all our praise. You are glorious. I pray that we may find rhythms of Sabbath rest by seeking refuge in you. Give us clarity on how you want that to look. Thank you for creating us uniquely with different needs. And may you give us the courage to get the help that we need to keep being faithful and trusting you. May we find this a safe community to do life with and to continue to surrender at your feet the things on our heart. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.